Let us open our scripture reading to the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 15. We'll read the entire chapter. Second Chronicles 15, now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you, be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the fifteenth year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul, and he was found by them. And the Lord gave them rest all around. And he removed Maachah, the mother of Asa the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Let us also turn to the New Testament. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, and we read the end of the second chapter of Acts, verse 40 to 47. Acts And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in a breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And so, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Let's also turn back to 2 Chronicles and we'll read our text. We specifically this morning focus on verses 8 through to 15. Verses 8 through to 11. We'll see the first point, covenant preparation, and in verse 12 to 14, covenant seeking, and in verse 15, we see the people receive covenant blessing. So 2 Chronicles 15, reading verses 8 through to 15 once again. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. And then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh and Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. And so they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil that they had brought. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord their God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul, and he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. So far from the reading of our text. After the proclamation of God's word, let's respond with singing Psalm 25, verse 2, 6, and 7. Beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live in a time when everything needs to be updated and renewed. Driver's license and passports. We get notifications on our phones saying that we need to update the software on our mobile devices. You buy something and it's not long before it has been updated and what you bought is out of date and old. And what happens when we don't update things? Well, they can become slow. Or it's not long before they may not work at all. For example, your phone or iPad may be incompatible with certain softwares if you don't keep your phone updated. And if you're going to update or renew something, you might do your homework, you might make some preparations to find out what's the best options. And then you go about doing what you need, and the result is that things are a little bit more convenient than what they used to be. In a similar way, brothers and sisters, our spiritual life needs to be renewed. Our spiritual life needs constant updating. Not yearly, not monthly, in fact, more frequent than that, every day. We come together once a week. We receive our spiritual updating and renewing, so to speak, when we come to church, when God's word is read and proclaimed to us, when we sing our songs to Him, when we confess our sins. And yet, we need it more frequent than that. Every day with God's word and with prayer, we're needing to come to Him to be renewed, to be strengthened, updated, just like our appliances and tools and products that cease or stop working if we're not maintaining them or updating them or renewing them, and they're eventually thrown out. So also our own spiritual lives need daily and weekly renewal and updating. Otherwise we cease up. Otherwise we stop becoming effective in our service for the Lord. And when we do this, God promises to bless this. He promises to give us rest and peace and joy in our heart and in our soul when we seek Him. And that's what we see God doing for His people Israel in the days of Asa. God frequently did this in the Old Testament for Israel. He brought them to covenant renewal. And He does this also for us too. And so may I summarize the gospel message for you from 1 Chronicles 15. The Lord uses His servant Asa to lead His people in covenant renewal. And in verses 8 to 11, we'll see covenant preparation. And in verses 12 to 14, we'll see covenant seeking. And in verse 15, we'll see covenant blessing. Now, who was King Asa? King Asa was the great-great-grandson of King David. After David's reign, we have Solomon, and then we have Rehoboam, and then we have Abijah, and then we have Asa. Asa began to bring reform in Israel and Judah specifically. That was because during the reign of his grandfather Rehoboam, we read in 1 Kings 15 that Judah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They provoked him to jealousy with their sins, and they built high places, they had sacred pillars and wooden images, and they did all according to the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. That was during the days of Rehoboam, Asa's grandfather. And Rehoboam's son Abijah, so that's Asa's father, he walked in the same ways as Rehoboam. His heart was not completely loyal to the Lord as David was. And in 2 Chronicles 14, 15, and 16, we have the records of the reign of King Asa. And the chronicler records here that he did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. He was loyal to the Lord. He was loyal to the covenant that God had made with the people of Israel. And our text begins in verse 15 with a short mini-sermon from the prophet Azariah. In the sermon from verses 1 through to 7, Asa is encouraged to continue seeking the Lord and that he should be strong. And we read in verse 8 that as soon as Asa heard these words, he was strengthened and he began to further the reformation in the land of Judah. That reformation continued from chapter 14, where we read about how he removed the high places and the incense altar from the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. So he continues that reformation that he began in chapter 14 after receiving that sermon from Azariah. And notice that verse 8 says that he did this immediately. In Hebrew, it literally says, as soon as Asa heard these words, he was strengthened. As soon as Asa heard the word, he got on with doing what he was supposed to do as the king of Israel. And that's a good lesson for us to learn, beloved. When we read God's word or when we listen to it proclaimed, he will strengthen us. He will motivate us into action. Asa was encouraged. There was no delay. And often that is what our struggle is, isn't it? We all know what the Lord requires of us. Sometimes we can read the Bible, but then we're very slow to make changes in our life. Or we hear God's word on Sunday, spending a whole day soaking ourselves in God's word, in speaking about God's word in conversations at home, and then we're tempted to forget about that during the week or not live it out in our lives. But not here for Asa. He hears God's word, and he immediately following that, he is strengthened. But what is he strengthened to do? What was Asa immediately encouraged to do? Well, that continues from verse 8 through to 11. We read there that Asa was strengthened to do three things. He removed the abominable idols, he restored the altar, and he gathers the people. Remove, restore, and rally. He removed the idols, he restored the altar, and he rallies the people together. The first thing Asa did was he removed the abominable idols. These were things that God detested and hated. There were certain foods and practices that Israel were forbidden to do. We can read about some of those, for example, in Leviticus 11. And after Leviticus 11, after God speaks to his people Israel and tells them what they are to detest and hate, what is to be an abomination for them, he says to them at the end of that chapter, "You shall consecrate yourself and be holy, for I am holy." So in other words, what Asa is doing here by removing these idols from the land, he is promoting holiness among the people of God. So the first thing Asa does is he promotes holiness. The second thing Asa does is he restores the altar. The altar was a place where God would meet with his people. Through the altar, atonement was made, the sacrifices would be brought, the people would make their vows at the altar, they would sing and rejoice also at the altar as well. It was a place of communion with the Lord. And some offerings, like the peace offering, for example, involved the people sitting around together, sharing in a meal that had been sacrificed on the altar. So in other words, what Asa is doing here by restoring the altar of the Lord was that he was promoting a life of prayer and communion and true worship with the Lord God of Israel. So he's promoting a life of prayer and communion with God. And the third thing then Asa does is he gathers the people at Jerusalem. Now the significance of the people meeting at Jerusalem was because this is where God blessed his people. His name dwelled in Jerusalem. And the people would receive that name when the priest gave the blessing following the sacrifices. That was really the climax of the worship for Israel, that they would receive the name of the Lord, similar to how at the end of our worship service, the Lord gives his name to his people. So what Asa is doing here is he's rallying the people together, but these are just not an ordinary people, these are the Lord's people. The people who have received the name of the Lord, one true God of heaven and earth. Now, as Asa received strength to remove the idols, he restores the altar and he He rallies the people. So he's promoting holiness. He's encouraging true worship to the Lord God of Israel. He's confirming the people of Israel as the people of the Lord God by bringing them to Jerusalem. As he is doing all of this, this is something that we cannot do in our own strength, beloved. We struggle with removing sin from our own lives. We struggle to live holy lives. We don't always have that close communion and fellowship with the Lord that we know we should or that we would like to. Finding it hard to find time to spend in his word and in prayer. And we may even struggle to identify as his people, to confess that name that we've received, because our natural pull that we struggle with is towards sin. This is something that only God can do for our lives, beloved. It's only what he can do by his grace and by his power. And even when God's grace and power is at work within us, the pull of that old nature is so strong. It clings to us. And often we do fall into sin. We don't always spend as much time with God as we know we should, or it can be difficult to love those who are the people of God. But notice that Asa is the one who is leading the people of God. He is the one who takes the action. He is the one who is making all the preparations necessary so that the people might then be a people who will seek the Lord, a people who will walk in holiness, a people who live in close communion with him, and a people who will then also live and identify themselves as the people of the Lord. So it's Asa, the Lord's servant, who is doing this for the Lord, leading his people. And in verse 1, we read that the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the prophet, the same Spirit who also came upon the kings, brothers and sisters, the kings who were anointed to lead God's people. In the book of Judges, we can read, in the book of Kings, we can read about how the Spirit came upon certain individuals to lead people, to deliver the people of Israel and to lead them in faithfulness and to worship the Lord. For example, think of Gideon and Samson. Think of when David and Saul were anointed, that the Spirit rushed upon them. And so the only way that we can receive the strength and courage to remove those sins from our life, to have that communion with God constantly every day through prayer and live as his people, is when we receive God's word and the Spirit is empowering us through the word. And this is something God promises to do for us and in us and through us. He promises to do this because he has made all the preparations already. All the preparations of our covenant relationship with him. He's done all of that already through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who leads his people, brothers and sisters, as the king of his people. Think about what Asa is doing here in this chapter. A type and shadow of what King Jesus does in the world and also in our own lives. Jesus Christ, with perfect righteousness and holiness, did not bow down to the idols of this world, did not give in to them temptations of the devil. He detested and he hated all things that God forbids. So he prepares us for holiness too. And through his sacrifice on the cross, a type of altar, he offered himself up so that we can have communion with God. We can come into his presence. We can pray to him. We can now come to him as children. And he as our Father in heaven. And just as Asa gathered and rallied those people to Jerusalem, so the Lord Jesus is gathering, defending, and preserving his people, gathering and defending and preserving you with his name. And he continues to do that by his Spirit and Word. God promises all this, beloved, through Jesus Christ. He's our covenant mediator. He is the one who now is applying his holiness. He's applying that close communion that he has with his Father also in our lives as well. And he is defending you, he is preserving you, he is gathering all from all nations, languages, and tongues, a people of God who have his name. And he's doing all of that so that you might seek him, so that you might live closely with him, in relationship with him. That is all the preparations that God has done for you, beloved. So that you might now, as we see in our second point, seek him. In verses 12 to 14, we read that the people are gathered at Jerusalem. We read there that after Asa makes all these preparations, he removes the idols, he restores the temple, and rallies the people together, that they make a covenant to seek the Lord. And there they make an oath, and that anyone who does not seek the Lord is going to be put to death. In the Old Testament, we often read about the Lord making a covenant with people. For example, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and Noah and David. And that simplest formula for the covenant, brothers and sisters, is, I will be your God and you will be my people. The entire covenant can be reduced to those few words, I will be your God. And you will be my people. You will be my people. We frequently also read about how people entered or made covenants with the Lord. This does not mean that the people are making a new covenant or a different covenant, but they are recommitting themselves to the covenant that God has made with them. So, for example, we read in Joshua 24 that Joshua reaffirms the covenant that God made with his people Israel through Moses. And our text is one of others in the book of Chronicles where we see covenant renewal taking place. Hezekiah's covenant renewal in 2 Chronicles 29, and Josiah did the similar in chapter 34 of 2 Chronicles. And the entire book of Deuteronomy overall is like a covenant renewal document between God and the people of Israel in the plains of Moab before they enter into Canaan. Now God brought his people to covenant renewal because things didn't always go the way they were supposed to. God kept up his end of the bargain, but it was always the people of Israel, and it's always us who are falling short. Consequently, Israel would often need to appear before God in Jerusalem to confess their sins, to recommit themselves to being the Lord's people, that they would remove the idols and bring the right sacrifices to the Lord. And one of the things during covenant renewal involved making an oath, making a vow to the Lord. This was a commitment that the people would be true to the covenant, that they would be faithful to the Lord. And we see Israel doing that here in our text. They make an oath to seek the Lord, which means that they were going to now be a people who would do exactly what Asa has just led them to do. They were committing themselves to a life of holiness, removing those idols from their lives, that they would have communion with God and bring their sacrifices to the altar, and that they would, in fact, then live as God's people, that they would gather with his people at his appointed place to receive the blessing of his name. And covenant renewal took place with oaths from the people. And the people did this because God was first seeking his people. And God has also made his covenant oaths, beloved. We read in Hebrews 6 that God made his covenant, or made his oath. Reading in Hebrews 6, that to make it more convincing to the heirs of the promise, the unchangeable character of his purpose, that he guaranteed it with an oath, so that we might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that he set before us. This hope, we read, is that we can come into God's presence, we can seek him through the one sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the display of God's faithfulness to keeping his oath. And God has been faithful to keep his promises. And ever since that one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see God working in the hearts of people, seeking him, and receiving also his covenant blessings in Jesus Christ. And that's why we also read from Acts chapter 2. You see, the disciples are gathered together, and then the Spirit comes upon the disciples. Peter stands up and he gives his sermon, very similar to the Spirit coming upon Azariah, and then how Azariah gives his sermon. And then Peter proclaims the word, and the people hear the word, and then 3,000 people receive it and believe it. They repent, they acknowledge their sins, they put them away. And then we read in verses 40 to 47 that they continued in the teaching of God's word. They were committed to God's word. They were committed to prayer. In other words, they put away all their idols, they had communion with God, and they gathered as his people. Exactly what has been taking place in 2 Chronicles 15 through the leadership of Asa and Israel. God continues that work through Jesus Christ now to also promote holiness in the lives of his people and also gather them in communion with their Father in heaven, and also to gather them as his people to receive his blessing in his name. God's work continues today, beloved, and he's doing that through his word and spirit. He works on our heart and our soul so that we would also seek the covenant, that we would remove sin, fight against it, flee from it, and do this through constant communion with him, through prayer and through his word, and then also gather together as his people and receive his blessing. And that happens personally, doing our devotions, spending time with him during the week, living to also please him. It especially happens corporately when we gather together and come to church. Beloved, attending church is a type of covenant renewal that takes place. And there are some Reformed churches in America who have adopted the Sunday worship specifically as a covenant renewal service. Churches with this worship service, they will meet together, they'll confess their sins, they hear the covenant word, they celebrate the covenant meal, the Lord's Supper, and then receive the covenant blessing. And our Reformed worship service is a covenant dialogue between God and his people. God speaks, then we respond. God speaks again, then we respond. He greets us. We respond with a song. We hear his law. We respond again. Then we give our offerings, and then we sing in response. And then God's word is proclaimed. And then we sing again. And yet an element of that worship service, beloved, is one of covenant renewal. God gathers you together here for you to confess your sins to him. He confirms his grace to you through his word. We respond with thanksgiving in our psalms and the offerings that we give, and then we receive his blessing. So you can understand, beloved, how important it is for you and how much God desires that you also be here together in church. This is the place where he calls us so that we may receive his word, so that we can receive his grace, so the Spirit working through the word can encourage and equip and strengthen you to remove sin, holy lives, have close communion with him during the week, and also then live as his people, with his name on your hearts and on your lives. And so it's no wonder, beloved, that in the Old Testament it was a serious sin not to attend the feast of Jerusalem, or not to attend the sacrifices, the altar. Not doing so, beloved, was to despise the very means that God has given for his people to receive his grace. That was the very means that God used to strengthen them and prepare them to live as his people. To not partake was to deprive oneself of God's grace, punishable by death. Consider several examples in the Old Testament. We see that clearly in our text, that when the people, we read in verse 13, that whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. Other examples include Ezra chapter 10. Ezra, the same time as when the book of Chronicles was written. In Ezra 10, it was made known that the people had not been faithful to the covenant. We read that Ezra was greatly troubled by this, and he says that we have broken faith with our God. And yet despite that happening, Ezra continues to say, yet there is hope for Israel in spite of this. Therefore, let us make a covenant with our God. So Ezra also is seeking a covenant renewal with the exiles when they came back to Jerusalem. And then Ezra made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to all the returned exiles that they should assemble at Jerusalem. And then we read there that if anyone did not come within 3 days by order of the officials and the elders, all his property was going to be forfeited and he himself banned from the congregation of the exiles. Quite a serious punishment there for not attending the worship service. We also see similar in the days of Hezekiah. The people are told to return to Jerusalem for the Passover, to not be stiff-necked, but yield themselves to the Lord and enter his sanctuary and serve the Lord that his wrath may turn away from you. Beloved, to withhold yourself from receiving the word, whether by a lack of that in your own personal life or a lack of seeking the Lord in coming to corporate worship, is a serious sin against the Lord that is worthy also of his judgment and his wrath. But it reveals a deeper trouble of your own heart and soul, doesn't it? Perhaps a lack of desiring holiness, or a lack of that close communion with the Lord and fellowship with him. And to be living as his people during the week. Beloved, how important it is for us as those whom he has shown so much and given so much in his Son, that we should then also seek him responding in faith in our own personal lives, but also coming together for public worship as his people, that we might not cut ourselves off from the blessings that he has prepared for us in Jesus Christ, but that we may receive those, that we might be strengthened in those, and that we might also have the joy, beloved, and the peace and the rest of those blessings too. And we see that in our third point, the wonderful covenant blessings that he has for us in Jesus Christ. We read in verse 15 that Judah rejoiced at the oath they made, and because they swore this with all their heart and sought him with all their soul, and that the Lord was found by them and that they received rest all around. And we see that there are 3 blessings in verse 15, beloved. 3 blessings because of the preparations of the covenant renewal and also then the people seeking the covenant. We read that they receive joy, the Lord is found by them, and they have rest. They have joy. The Lord was found by them and they have rest. Remember, Ezra is writing to the exiles who have returned from Babylon. And the Lord had promised that he would return them to Jerusalem, and that they would call upon him and they would pray to him, and I will listen to them, says Jeremiah chapter 29. And you will seek me, you will find me when you search me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. It is the great grace and love and power of God, beloved, that he has brought us from exile to sin and slavery, so that we might have the blessings of his covenant to us in Jesus Christ. And sadly, there are many in the world who are still lost in their sin and slavery to the devil. And they do not enjoy the blessings of Christ. And sadly, we even have loved ones who are there. And yet by God's grace, beloved, he has brought you here to this place, because he is being faithful to himself and to his oath. And he has caused himself to be found by you, because he has revealed himself to you through his word. And he is now strengthening you so that you might then live and seek him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And he gives you gladness and joy and rest. Now, it's true that we don't always experience that. And that is now all the more reason then to seek him the more diligently. Seek him in his words. Find strength from his words. And he will give you joy. He will give you rest. He will be found. He has promised this to you. And so, beloved, when we seek the Lord, he will be found by us. We will rejoice in the joy and the rest that he promises to give us. These are the wonderful promises that he is bringing to perfect fulfillment. And there is coming that eternal rest, beloved. That eternal rest, that eternal joy, that eternal perfect communion with him. And that is going to be the place where there will be no more idols to tempt us, because there only will be perfect holiness. We will have that sweet and close and perfect communion with him, and we will once and finally be his people, free from the devil, free from our old nature. And we will live in the glory of the new heavens and the new earth. Beloved, he has promised that. He has sworn that unto himself. That is the guarantee that you have. And so, beloved, praise God. Praise him now. And seek him with all your heart and with all your mind and soul and strength. For he has taken every necessary preparation for you to be holy, to be restored unto him through the altar, through the sacrifice of his son, the cross. And he is now gathering his people from all over the world, and you may number yourselves among them to his praise and to his glory forever. Amen.